What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Chris Stefanik Show. One of the most life-changing experiences I ever had was in 2018 when I flew to Haiti to film an episode of our real-life Catholic series, which we produced with EWTN. We talk a lot about the joy of the Lord and how to live it. There, more than any other place I've ever been, I saw the joy of the Lord, in a place where I saw also the most profound suffering and poverty that I've ever experienced, which taught me so much about what matters in life and what doesn't. I'm so excited to bring you on this journey with us today. This is part of our Life series, which draws seven key episodes from that series with EWTN that, again, a lot of our series and coaching courses show how to live in the joy of the Lord. This particular series is different. It shows the joy of the Lord lived out in different settings in the Catholic planet that just make you happy to be a Catholic. And it's such a cool thing to share with your family. It's great for multi-generational purposes, and it's great for sharing with your small groups. This is really a life-changing resource for you to go through with your small groups. And with people who may be on the fence and may be interested in the faith, I want churches to use this stuff. How to access all these courses, including the Life program, follow the link below the video and you'll get access to that. In addition to getting access, you're also helping carry our mission forward, which includes things like, we decided to add this after this trip to Haiti that you're about to watch, funding a full-time doctor to work at the clinic that I visit. So with that, I love you guys. I hope you're inspired by this trip to Haiti as I was. God bless you. Welcome to Haiti. We're gonna be serving at an orphanage with my friends at Haiti 180. And I think in a lot of ways you're gonna see this is the most beautiful place in the world.
Brother!
Dude!
Welcome!
Woohoo!
Welcome to Haiti.
It's about time.
How was your flight?
Great, I've been wanting to come for years, dude. Thanks for doing this.
You're amazing.
How do you say welcome to Haiti in the Creole?
Bienvenue à Haiti. Welcome to Haiti.
Bienvenue à Haiti.
That's right, brother.
Let's do it.
Should we go on an adventure?
Let's do it! Haitian roads are a little different. Potholes are near-death experiences. Stoplights are when one car jams its way in front of another car and forces it to stop. Most of the cars and trucks have little words on them like Jésus, merci, thank you, Jesus. And after driving for an hour or two on those roads, you're saying the same thing. So we're in a dump and people actually live out here, and kind of wish I could convey the smell to you.
You can see people scavenging in here.
So they're getting their daily food.
Yeah, or trying to find something like they could recycle or whatnot, but a lot of them are looking for food.
Wow.
You actually see some tents up over there, which is interesting.
People are living in here.
Right. This is a gold mine for poor people. Come in here and look for stuff. Try to support their families, try to find food, and they'll fight against the pigs and the rats, scrambling to try to find one little nugget here. So usually it's on fire and the smoke just comes into the whole city. So we're lucky we're in a day when it's not lit up.
Thanks for showing me, man.
You bet, brother.
The only word I can use to describe driving through Port-au-Prince is overwhelming. I've seen a lot of poverty, but nothing like this. Imagine Los Angeles without basic infrastructure, like waste management. Much of the city is literally carpeted with refuse.
So, you can see the kids down there, they're gonna do their laundry in that river right there.
You kidding me, dude?
No. Look at this little girl holding the baby doll right here. So that's her play yard, and that's where she'll play.
So what we try to do is take the kids out of here and bring them up into the mountains where they've got a shot.
The only thing more overwhelming than the poverty here is seeing the indomitable spirit of the Haitians. When people come here, they often expect to see everyone paralyzed by grief. What you encounter instead is a people who, the morning after an earthquake or hurricane or personal tragedy, will get up at sunrise like they always do and get back to work. The entrepreneurial spirit, interior drive, and sense of hope are truly mind-blowing. Literally nothing seems to stop these people. Sean, what happened here? Why is it so much rougher than the rest of the planet?
The Haitian people were slaves, and the whole country was deforested and
killed the soil.
The soil went down, killed the coral, so the fish were gone. So it's tough to plant here.
No plants, no fish.
Tough place to live. And then they raised themselves up with their machetes and won their independence. They're the first slave colony that I've ever read of that actually gained their independence by picking up the machete and saying, get out of here. And they beat the French out of the country. But then the French, they put a blockade up around the country.
Because people didn't like the idea of slaves.
No, it scared them.
So they blockaded the country.
Blockaded the country and then said, until you pay this debt, we're not going to let any goods come into you. So it was equivalent to about $1 billion from what I've studied, and it took them 100 years to pay it off. So they missed the Industrial Revolution, fell way behind, and now they're just playing catch up. But they're brilliant people, and they will.
The sense of dignity people carry themselves with here, it exceeds what you usually find in the world's wealthiest places. In a country with virtually no washing machines and where it can be hard to even find clean water, I don't think I saw a single wrinkled t-shirt.
This place is beautiful, brother.
Thank you, man.
When you make fatherhood something missionary, the world needs fathers. This is the gift of fatherhood. That's what that is. This is gorgeous, man. You know, building the kingdom of God right here in the middle of the jungle in Haiti. Katie, you came here for a week and stayed for how many years?
Eight.
Stayed for 8 years.
Reels you in, you know?
It's incredible. So, dude, you started as a bar musician.
Yeah, we built up quite a crowd there. We started playing some of the biggest nightclubs and a couple thousand people come check you out.
And you had sponsorship and everything.
Yeah, different alcohols with sponsors.
How do you get from that to being a missionary in Haiti?
I really started saying, God, what do you really want me to do? I don't want to just say like, oh, there's this nice God, I'm a good person. It's like, if you made me, then I think you may have made me for something more than just to sing songs in a pub somewhere. I started praying and I started reading. God's pretty clear to help the poor. So I told my pastor, I feel like God's calling me to work with the poor. And he goes, hey, I'm leaving for Haiti in about 2 weeks. You want to go? And I was like, great. Thinking it was somewhere off the coast of Africa, having no idea where it was. So next thing you know, it's off the coast of Florida.
Study geography, kids.
Yes, make sure.
You might end up in the wrong continent.
I've just always, loved singing for little kids and hanging with them. So I was like, I'm gonna bring my guitar and bring some joy into the lives of some kids in an orphanage. This is about 15 years ago. The kids were just staring at the walls. There was no joy in them whatsoever. And what I found out is because there's so many kids and so few caretakers that they don't get held when they're little. They don't get any stimulation, so they don't have any spark inside them. They have what I call dead eyes. They're just kind of staring at the wall. And I was like, I've got my guitar. And started strumming, nothing, and I was like, how can I connect with these kids? And I felt a little depressed, because all of a sudden this little kid got up and he just walked across the room to me and he was staring in front of me like this. And I was like, what's up? Just a little kid. And he had his hands on his hips, like with an attitude. So I went to pick him up and the director said, don't touch that one. And I said, why? And he said, he's covered with scabies. And so I withdrew my hands, because he's like, you'll get sick. We all get sick if we pick up the kids and we can't get sick. Otherwise, we can't just feed the ones that we're trying to, because they're just trying to keep them alive. So I started to walk away. I pet the little kid with my head and I said, hey, God bless you. And I started to walk away and God just convicted me. And he said, so I'll die on a cross to wear your sins, but you won't pick me up because you're afraid of a rash. And that little boy was looking at me with that attitude saying, well, you're coming to look for the poor. This is what we look like. What now? So I stepped out and I picked him up. He threw his arms around me and he hugged me really tight. And I let go and he was just hanging there, dangling. And then the other kids just like woke up. They went, oh, he holds us. And they all just ran at me. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. They're jumping on me and I'm hugging them. I'm like, I'm going to die. This is great. I'm going to die. Man. And it was probably the first time I authentically loved a human being without worrying about how it made me felt, but just Christ loved me first, I want to love you. And then I said, God, if you'll let me, I'd like to build something where we can create future leaders for this country, because these people are amazing. They're not these weak people that we're coming in to save. I mean, I think more people get saved encountering them.
It's true. So give me the whole scope of your work here.
First and foremost, Christ. We're bringing Christ out here, the sacraments, so people haven't had them for a while.
That gives them a hope that rebuilds a nation.
Absolutely. Orphanage. This is the hub right here. This is the heart of it all, this orphanage.
Yeah.
From the orphanage, we have the school. From the school, we have the homes for the elderly. And from the elderly, now we have this incredible medical facility.
Wow.
So, you know, we're hitting the head, the heart, the soul, everything.
Incredible.
And the transformation that takes place when somebody comes out here and actually shares the gospel with another person, and then feeds somebody who hasn't eaten for 2 days, their faith becomes so strong because now they're putting into practice all those things they've read about, they've heard about, watched on TV, all of a sudden they're going, now I'm doing it. And that's when faith becomes real.
Yes. Well, I can't wait to see all this week, man.
We are so thrilled to have you here. Let's have a blast.
Thanks for making me part of it, dude.
You bet. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So, como ye is like a Haitian greeting. It's like, hey, how's it going? And the normal response to that is en femme, which means strong. That's really telling that the response to how you doing isn't like good or great, but strong. This is the Haitian diet. I don't know what it is, man. You need a gym membership and work pretty dang hard to get that. But, I mean, resilience, it's an understatement for what Haitians have. I mean, it's strong, and then there's Haiti strong. You know, after the great earthquake that happened, it claimed hundreds of thousands of lives. Tons of Haitians crowded the Capitol with their drums and started beating their drums. And they wanted to show the world that they could shake the ground too. There's something unconquerable in the Haitian spirit. I think that something is hope. A hope that comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A hope that, you know, has their heart set on heaven. And hope that's ultimately going to change the world here in Haiti.
With over 90% Christian and 80% of them being Catholic, God comes first in Haiti. Among a people so materially poor, they're very wealthy in what matters most. This is what morning prayer looks like at the orphanage every day. Hearing these children who lost parents to so many tragedies singing the word Papa to God the Father, something I'll never forget. Among the highlights of the day was joining the orphans at their school. I could see the missionaries, especially the teens, really come to life here. Young people so often feel unnecessary. Today's a reminder that anyone who has a heart to love with is necessary.
You know, something profoundly different about Christian service that I think makes us stand apart and helps people who are doing that service not burn out is that we don't see the people we're serving as objects of our service. We see them as our brothers and sisters. And we're gonna stand before God with those people someday, and they're gonna be able to say, hey, like, I needed something. Did you help me out? They're our equals. We're family. And we're just doing what a family does. Tell me about this place, man.
Okay, so this is our elderly home for the ladies and then the gentlemen. Unfortunately, in Haiti, there's just not enough food for people sometimes, so the elderly don't eat that much, and they can go off to a hut where they'll go to die. And literally, they'll be laying in bed, and their grave will be dug, waiting for them just to enter into it. So, and then sometimes the elderly would be there and their sons or whoever we're caring for them, they died or moved off. They couldn't care for them, so they're just sitting there alone. So we thought we'd bring them here and take care of them, let them die with dignity. Hospice care, right. Let them die with dignity. But something really cool happened. We brought them here, and then the kids from the orphanage were like, who are these people? So they started coming over, and then they started holding the kids, and this instant grandparent program showed up, and they didn't die, so it's now a nursing home.
Oh, my.
Isn't that awesome? And now these now the elderly here will minister to the missionaries who come. They'll come and tell them about Jesus, so they're, so yeah, because they have so much, you know, experience with the faith, and the, you know, our elderly are forgotten often. Oh, but they have the experience, they've grown in faith. So they'll sit out here in the courtyard.
They feel valued.
Yeah,
and they'll share. And they should be valued, right?
Absolutely. And they'll share the gospel with these young kids that come here on mission and everybody. It's beautiful how God turned that around. We're going to help you. And now they're ministering to us.
Yeah, no, I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Let's go meet them.
You bet.
That's incredible.
The psalmist talks about how the righteous will flourish like palm trees, still bearing fruit when they're old, still full of sap, still green. There's something within these people that's every bit as young as the orphans. Makes me feel younger just being here. I've always been in awe of the joy and hope of the saints and how nothing, not even being martyred, could take it away from them. That's because their hearts were anchored in something more than this world, and what the world doesn't give, the world can't take away. That was my message when I preached at the elderly home. Ironically, it's also the message I learned today. If the people here can stay rooted in the joy and hope of the Lord in the midst of their trials, really, what excuse do I have for letting the small stuff in my daily life knock me off balance? Lord, help me be more like your people in Haiti.
Are you dancing with me?
Pure joy, man. That was pure joy. So, I got nothing to add to that. That was awesome.
We're kicking off day 3 of our mission by helping out at the medical clinic. In a place where most ailments, including serious ones, go undiagnosed and untreated, the need here is extreme. Every time the doors open, there's a steady flow of people for as long as the doors are open.
I'm really kind of blown away. It's like the nicest building within 150 miles of here.
It's gorgeous.
It is, man. So this is going to be the medical clinic for
the area.
People are going to come from everywhere here.
Yeah, they will. It's going to get really busy.
What made you think, what gave you the audacity to think you could do all this?
The cool thing is God revealed it in waves. Yeah. Had he said, do this, I'd be like, But so he's like, you know, let's start with an orphanage. And then the cool thing is God just sends the most amazing people into my life to get these things done. I play the guitar. I tell people about Jesus. I don't know anything about medicine. You don't even want me putting a Band-Aid on you. So then God sends me some doctors into my life to say, hey, we can help you structure and build that. And yeah, so it's me just inviting incredible people to come to make this happen. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, you bet.
That's great. You just tap into the soil, man. The water springs out.
That's it. God's faithful. If God wants to get something done, he's going to get it done. And you can either be a part of that or not be a part of it.
Yeah, and if you show us the whole picture, we get paralyzed, right?
You bet.
I think of Francis rebuild my church.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so I'll take some stones and build a chapel?
He's like, no.
I'm not going to show you the whole thing right now, but I want you to be obedient. That's what I want.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You see a need, and you just got to do it.
John had kind of a checkered past, gang involvement and stuff. So that's part of the reason why after his accident on the motorcycle, his villagers abandoned him. And also they didn't know what to do to care for him, you know, so his bed sores formed just out of control.
We'll leave his legs here. You want to turn him this way?
Can he feel his body?
It's not completely.
Okay.
It's not like he can't feel everything, but there are things where he'll wince.
And then ultimately we'll need someone to sort of cut these yellow bandage, there's yellow bandage. The yellow, oh, that does look good. The yellow has medicine on it, so it's not yellow from pus, but so he's got pressure wounds here. Okay. This all looks
you
pretty
see
good.
All of this. So when we
that's all from bed
first source? Came mm-hmm. here, his shoulder blade was exposed. These were each individual, like...
You can see the bone?
Oh, yeah, there are
just
some ribs.
Just laying down that, without anyone to move.
Some ribs that were exposed.
That, he looks great right
yeah.
now. He's good getting better.
And so this is even with you guys caring for him every
this
day.
This is a year and a half in. This is you should have seen him. The first time we came to bandage him, it took 10 of us 6 hours to bandage him.
She's going to translate.
Of jazzy pool.
Because I don't speak Creole very well. John.
He said, next time you come back, you better learn how to speak. Speak Creole.
Yeah. Tell me how you found Jesus, because he's... Man, he's in your face.
Ele diz, dime um bai, ele mandou, como vim conhecer Jesus?
Maybe how Jesus found you.
Ou bem, como Jesus te vim joer nu? Even I don't understand how he came to me like this. He said, I never would have thought that I would be in this situation still or even for the rest of my life.
So you found Jesus here reflecting.
C'est là où vous avez une bonne relation avec Jésus encore? T'as un coucher?
Oui, bon, pour pas me coucher à papa.
He said,
on peut réfléchir, on passe.
He said, yeah, when you think about all these things and you reflect on it, he said, you know, sometimes that'll change you too.
I've seen many people who can walk around on 2 feet and have a lot of stuff who are not as happy looking as you.
Li konnen an pil moun ki sou de pye, ki gen tout sa ou bezwen, et yo pa gen ke kontan. He said, I have a happy heart. Because I have all these people who come to see me all the time, every day. He said, they give me so much courage.
Praise God. So while people give you courage and lift you up, when you open your doors, every person who comes in here to help, you lift us up. So thank you for that.
Merci pour ça. He said there's only one thing we could do is that for us to pray. For us to pray together. Yeah, he goes, we know how much time we've been here on this earth, but we don't know how much time is left. So, you know, gotta pray.
Let's pray with him. Come on in, guys. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the faith, hope, and love in the heart of John. Thank you for how you reached in there, even through his pain, where many would reject you in their pain. He's found you here. We ask you, Lord, that in your presence that we see in this man, your joy, your life, your hope, that the world would find what he's found. Thanks, man. I mean, you can see God so clearly in him, it's unbelievable. I mean, I literally just felt like I was walking into a chapel when I went in that room and saw him laying there. I'm never going to forget that face, man. While we were here to help with people's material needs, Sean put me on the spot and asked me to preach everywhere we went. Because like anyone else, the people here need spiritual food too. It was a humbling experience to share. We're on I don't know where the heck we are. We're way off the beaten path somewhere in Haiti. And came to visit people who would otherwise be totally forgotten. Okay, think of this. Think of the richest person you could possibly imagine.
Okay, nous réfléchir de un que on connaît.
They own everything. What do you think they own?
Même si moun n'a gen tout bagay, qui ça vous pensez li gen?
God.
Bon Dieu.
Owns everything.
Tout bagay, c'est pour bon Dieu li.
There's no being richer than God. And God gave everything. So the one who has everything chose to be with us where we are. Why? Because he loves you. The maker of everything gave everything out of love for us. It's funny, man. People accuse Christians of not doing enough good in the world. I'll tell you, you come to places like this, the only people who come this far to serve is someone driven by faith. You know, faith in heaven doesn't take us away from the concerns of other people's lives, just loving and serving them, or the needs of the world. It's precisely knowing that I'm going to meet these people in heaven, have to stand before God with them,
an answer to whether or not I did anything. It's precisely the belief in heaven that drives me to do things on earth. These aren't just objects of service. These are my brothers and sisters forever. That's who they are.
Okay, Andre. There is a village sitting on a mountain where the people come for miles around to get their fill. There is a home there with little children built with arms of love because it is the Father's will. Hey-yo, hey-yo, living in the mountains. Hey-yo, hey-yo, in the arms of Kai Marie.
Mother Teresa had a stunning statement once that she said, with all the poverty she encountered in the world, the worst poverty was the poverty she encountered in wealthy nations. It's the poverty of loneliness. It's the poverty of feeling like your life makes no difference. It's the poverty of despair and of hopelessness. This trip taught me that everybody has the power to push back on that poverty, to bring the light of Christ to that darkness. And it's the little things that we do in everyday life that make that happen. It's that tender touch to someone who needs it, the uplifting word. It's opening your mouth to share the hope of Jesus Christ with somebody who doesn't know him. It's sharing your bread with the hungry. But all that requires stepping outside of our comfort zones and putting the valleys of the gospel in front of our desire for comfort and security. I guess that's really the hard part, isn't it? Thanks for making a journey with me.
And you know them, you know them, you know them. The light of Christ shines in their eyes. And you know them, you know them, you know them. The light of Christ shines in their eyes. Hey, hey, oh, living in the mountains. Hey, hey, oh, in the arms of Kai Marie. Hey, hey, oh, living in the mountains. Hey, hey, oh, in the arms of Kai Marie. Vous chantez avec moi? Oui. Good job, Simon. Good job.
Good thing she has my skills to help her out today. How do you say beans in Creole?
Sans
poivre. Sans poivre. That sounds so much prettier than beans. There is no Starbucks anywhere around here.
Oh. It's decision.
Wow, he's angry.
I know.
He's got issues.
He doesn't believe it.
Come to Jesus. quiet on the set.
He listened.
He did.
Join the movement and get free stuff. Visit reallifecatholic.com and sign up for a free e-newsletter today.